You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, what a special treat having Jeannie Bruett, former executive assistant to Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson, in the house. I could listen to her all day, and she's like really nice. And now we got John Kramer from the Press Times here. So, a little 180 real quick.
Well, I'm just waiting for you to say something stupid. So
wow, would I do that?
It's only a matter of time.
I already apologized for making a mess in front of you on my desk.
So, what's going on over there?
I don't know.
Yeah, Johnny's a mess.
We're going to have ants in here. So Rick, if you're not aware, I just sit back and wait for him to say stuff and crack jokes.
That's pretty much it. So it's our whole companionship has always been like that. Introduce a very special guest. Damn. I'm so excited about having these two people here.
You introduce him. You seem to know him better than I do.
Well, you introduce Rick.
I just met Barb. Well, everyone knows Rick. What's to introduce?
Well, tell him who he is, what he does, John.
I'll tell you what he does.
Big mouth and the power tool.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This guy. I'm surprised you never ran for office.
Good morning, everybody. You know what? Funny you say that. I've been asked.
Oh, I bet you have.
And I just don't want anything to do with that. But
everybody loves you, though.
My email address is the mayor of GB. You and I discussed this years
yes,
ago. Yeah.
We did. All yeah. right.
Well, you're not going to be able to get the license plate. He's got that one.
Hey, as long as I can get a ticket validated once in a while. Yeah,
good
okay.
luck with that.
Yeah. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing great. I had a knee replacement back in at the end of December, and that's on the comeback trail. Otherwise, all good. My kid's doing great. She's in college. She's just finishing up her second year in nursing school in Oshkosh and killing it.
Yeah. Awesome. And so people listening, you know, Big Mouth and the Power Tools, I don't know when you started. I should know this.
Oh, gosh. I think we're going into about our 38th year, maybe 39.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea. Was
yeah. We're like the Stones without all that wealth baggage.
Well, yeah. yeah. And just how many shows do you do? And you play all over, but you do a lot right here in our community.
We do a lot here. We're the darlings of Door County.
Are you? I love that.
We play up there a ton at the Alpine and in Sister Bay. Yeah. At Al Johnson's Stabur.
Yeah,
it's really great.
How cool is that little bar outside of Al Johnson's?
It's awesome, yeah. And I would highly suggest the Stockholm Cooler, but be careful.
That is
type of beer.
Well, no, it's a summer hummer with a twist of lingonberry juice on top.
Okay,
with some kind of Swedish vodka. Yeah, it'll.
Wow. Yeah. You don't need too many of those.
No, two.
I might have to run up there just for that.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Yeah. They're fantastic.
And we are with Barb Conniff, a longtime friend of mine.
Yes.
Reporter extraordinaire in TV circles here.
Oh, you're making me blush. And in fact, most people are not even old enough to remember that.
Really?
Anymore. I am.
Oh, man. You were one of the hard chargers. You were one of the first hard chargers in the local TV business.
Oh, you're very
kind.
As
a reporter.
You're very kind. For the uninitiated, that was like 1987 to 1992.
I don't care when it was. I still remember you, man. You were the person to go to.
And you were fun. You were my sports guru.
We had a good time back in those days, didn't we?
We did. Those were the days.
Yeah.
But isn't that something how... You haven't aged, and look at Johnny.
He hasn't aged either. In fact, there was a gentleman who walked out that I thought was John, because I'm like, certainly he must be gray. And I said, hi, you're looking younger every year. And he goes, no, I'm not John. But I'll take that compliment with me all day long.
And we have to talk about something else with you.
That's right.
Your former husband, who was a dear friend of mine, and was one of the first, and Rick, you could back this up. I think what Heroes did is it really started live music in Green Bay in smaller venues. But it's not just, you know, a garage band, some kids who want to play in front of people. Like, good, really popular bands came to that place. And your husband, Pat, who's legendary, But wouldn't you agree, Barb, that that was huge for the music industry around here?
Yes. You know, over the years, and I've been in Green Bay since 1987 when I came to work at what is now Fox 11, I've seen music scenes ebb and flow, you know. And at the time that Pat and I met, which was shortly after I moved here, he had a vision of opening a place where he could have local bands come and showcase their talents and entertainment people. Entertain the people. And I remember the exact morning the Heroes idea was born. There was on the news a story of a fire next to of a bar that was next to 401 South Washington, which was then known as Jocko's, and was for sale.
So right here, basically?
Down on
South Washington. So the original place that he was at. Okay,
yeah. Yep. So anyway, he had been looking at that place, and then the place next door burned down, and he said, now there's parking. I'm going to start negotiating.
How did it burn down?
We know nothing.
That's awesome.
Truly, it was a coincidence. But that's what got it started. He went in, and with friends over the years, he kept improving it. You know, he wanted to, at first it didn't have a stage, and it had this little false rock wall up front in the bands. Do you remember that,
Absolutely,
Ricky?
Absolutely, I do.
Because Ricky was not only Big Mouth, he's played with some other bands. What were the other ones in those early days?
We did a three-piece thing called Los Desperados. We did the Hooligans. We did a Sunday after the Packer game thing. It was kind of we took the name from the new Krusty Minstrels, but we called ourselves the new Krusty Nostrils.
I love that.
That's a good one.
So, So I played in several different factions over the years, and that was the place was amazing. Pat did a great job. He knew his business.
Right.
He knew music. He appreciated it as much as anybody I've ever met, and he was able to pull in some pretty talented groups. I mean, he used to bring in Duke Tomato and the Power Trio from Indianapolis. You know, fantastic.
So it wasn't just, a downtown Green Bay bar is going to have music. It's going to bring eclectic music.
Right.
And was one of the first kind of like jazz groups. That would be a place they could, because most of Green Bay would have been country and western and back in the day or whatever,
right.
whatever.
Polka.
But he went out on that limb, didn't he, Barb?
Yeah. He had a vision for doing blues music. In fact, when we first met each other, that was kind of what bonded us. I remember the night we met, it was through people at Channel 11. Dave and Tony and Dwayne were celebrating their birthday on April 14th. And let's go to this place called Connie's, you know, after we got off work on the evening shift.
Can I just throw out one thing?
Yes.
I think you're probably missing somebody. Mark Rubeski.
Was that his birthday too?
No, but he always hung. He always wanted me to come to Connie's all the time. That was their place. After work, where are you going, Mark? Connie's. Hey, what are you doing there? Connie's. That was like the hangout in downtown Green Bay, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah. And Pat's brother, Tom Conniff, owned that. For those of you tracking current state, it's now the Sardine Can over there on South Broadway. But anyway, we all went there, and Pat was working with Tom at the time. And there was all this loud rock and roll, and I had just moved up from Jackson, Mississippi, and had fallen in love with the blues. So this was back in the day when the music came on little cassettes. So after I got a beer, it was very crowded, very popular. I said to him, can I come back there and look at some music and make a request? And he's kind of looking at me like, who are you? And I'm like, well, I'm short and cute and want to hear something else. So, and we both like Miller Lite. So let me come on back there.
Which
and,
if you didn't have, you could be short. Okay. But if you didn't have the cute part, no DJ loves it. True or false,
Rick? For that. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Todd's in there too.
So, yeah. I pulled out a blues tape of Robert Cray, I think I pulled out. I thought, well, this will be mainstream enough for these people. And I pulled this out and he goes, you like that? And I said, yeah, I love all kinds of blues. And that's when I started learning about his vision and his love of blues music. So the weekend bands were by and large blues. There were some rock and roll bands mixed in, most notably Jim Krieger's Normal Adults. Remember that?
Yep. And his formula was always, ever since I can remember, it was Friday would be pretty much the rock and roll night. Saturday was the blues. Sunday, you never knew. It could be a trio like the Heebie Jeebies that had Frosty Zinc and Paul Wilmette. and Brian Grissel. They were fantastic.
Paul Wilmette, the baseball player?
Paul Wilmette, the baseball player. He's a heck of a drummer.
I had no idea.
And guitarist. He still plays around here now and then.
Really?
Yeah, he's been in Nashville.
He's
been
Rocker.
Up here. Yeah.
Oh, is he? Mm-hmm. I'd love to get him on the show. He actually played Major League Baseball for, for a minute.
Yep.
I mean, I remember watching him play in the Major Leagues.
Yeah, down in Texas.
From DePere. Yeah.
He would
so what
be great
year was all this?
Well, Heroes opened around 1989, and then it was interesting because in the ascension of the Packers was kind of the ascension of the glory days of Heroes.
Yeah, I want to talk about the parallel between the music scene has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rick, I want you to answer that. I'm assuming it has, and obviously the Packers have changed. And are we better now with the music here in our community? I mean, 30 years or 38 years playing. I mean, how are we doing?
Well, Barb hit on something really kind of on the nose. It ebbs and flows. It ebbs and flows all the time. Right now, I think it's okay. I think we could do better. One of the great things about the Heroes place was you knew that any night of the weekend you wanted to go there, you were going to see some of the best music that the area offered. And the talent well is deep. Between Door County and Green Bay and down the lakeshore.
Appleton.
The Valley.
It's the talent well is deep. So he was able to draw from that. And again, it was the formula of Rock and Roll Friday, blues on Saturday. You never knew what you were going to get
on
Sunday.
You know how you would always know? When you're leaving the gas station, you picked up the Entertainer.
Well, there's that
remember the
too.
Entertainer?
Yes.
Yep, the Entertainer.
We could use that again too. So, but I think it's okay. But I think there's definite room for improvement.
And the improvement, though, I want to hear about this. The venues, you think we should have more? I think there's more opportunities now, Rick. And I'm just the guy that observed it from the outside. But you know, you've got the City Deck now. You've got some of these places on Broadway where people can play.
Right.
The Meyer, I don't know how long it's been here.
Tarleton.
The Tarleton. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Tarleton, which, if I could get a quick plug in here.
Go ahead.
We've got a show coming up on the 30th that was just booked. And we are...
you're going to pack that place.
But we also,
it's not that big.
We also have the Heroes reunion coming up this weekend, this Sunday from 1 to 5.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, let's
do
that
Facebook.
First.
We'll
hence
do that.
Why we're all here.
Yeah,
absolutely. But you know, one other thing that we want to talk about, another thing as far as like what I think is cool is so much, because every Friday we do a group in here, a local band type, or even you know, acoustic, whatever. But we devote it to it. Dennis from the Glam Band is here and he hosts it and everything like that. And even Dennis says, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of like stars coming together. You could have this really talented person and not have a great career. And this talented person and not. But boy, if somebody could figure out how to put that formula together. But it's almost like magical, isn't it? What it takes to all of a sudden some band being popular.
Now that you've touched on that, I think a good thing to have more of in this town would be open mics.
Okay. That's
because,
cool.
Because when I left music for a long time, about 10 years after high school, and then got back in because of the open mics in town. Mm-hmm. And you could go there
awesome.
And you can meet other people and play with other people.
Get
and,
noticed.
And like-minded, you know, people that wanted to be in a rock band, people that wanted to be in a blues band. Though that was integral.
And you guys sure get along, you musicians. I mean, we get people in here, and I played with so-and-so and so-and-so, and I think that's awesome, and you support each other.
It's
I think
small,
that's a good industry.
It's a small, tight community, and everybody knows what everybody else is doing. and I think for the most part, we all try to help each other. You know, if
right.
a room breaks open, you know, we try to tell our friends, hey, go talk to these folks and see if you can get in there.
That's great.
You know?
Yeah.
And you have to be. You know, I mean, well, you don't have to be.
Because there is no strict formula.
You should be that
way. Yeah.
It should be that way.
But, I think that just makes. I mean, when you're on stage, it's obvious how much you love your job.
Thank
and,
you.
And I think, like you said, I mean, you all get along, and you have to be. But you know, you have to be. But you want to be. I mean, you sure are. Just get along with everybody.
It's
I mean, I've always liked that about you.
It's for the betterment of the musical
it
community.
Is.
It's for the betterment of the local
right.
community.
You when know, we come back, we're going to devote the whole thing to the. What's the proper term for
the Heroes Club reunion?
Yeah. Heroes Club
Coming
reunion.
Up this
I want
Sunday.
To just say the Heroes reunion, but then I'd be thinking it's all about John Kramer here and what he did in Afghanistan and everything. So I don't want to make that plain. We'll be back with more headlines of the Press Times with Rick from Big Mouth and Barb Khanna. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mono the Mayor here. John Kramer, headlines of the Press Times. Rick Pinebreck from Big Mouth. And, of course, the Heroes Club event coming up this weekend with Barb Conniff, whose husband, Pat, pretty much was so instrumental in really getting quality and I don't want to say unusual. What's the word I'm looking for? Different. Bringing different.
Unique.
Yeah. Unique. Yeah. Yeah. Music to the area.
Eclectic. He brought the blues to Green Bay.
He brought the blues
to Green Bay.
And it's never left.
And he did it consistently. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, the one thing. We see things ebb and flow in the music industry. There are a lot of places to hear music now, particularly outdoors in the summer, like the City Deck and so many places. But Heroes was one of those places where not only was there consistency of music, there was consistency of relationships that developed. Pat might have gotten them in the door because being a native Green Bay person going to Green Bay West, he knew a lot of people.
Who was on like the best basketball team Green Bay West ever had.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, you know, but it was the people and the camaraderie they formed and the friendliness of the bartenders that keep people coming back. The Heroes Club reunion started because of them. And just to give the plug so we don't forget, it is this Sunday, May 18th, at the Blue Collar Bar and Grill, which has been a wonderful host. This is our fourth one, and they have been absolutely wonderful. So we just, you know, totally enjoy having that opportunity to be there.
Where's this at?
South Broadway, 1313 South Broadway.
Right.
Yeah, so near Broadway. Right. 9th.
Got it.
So
it's right next to the Cheesesteak Rebellion. And if you don't know where that place is.
Yeah, you're missing it.
Yikes.
Yeah, that place is awesome.
Used to be the Camelot.
Yeah.
Years ago. Larry McCarron and I used to go there for lunch.
The
and
Rock.
They'd have the first time I ever had the brat patty burger, and then the onion and cheese, and then the hamburger patty. And then and it's like, I've never had one of these before. That was always like, that's a legendary place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For real.
So how it came to be was there was a longtime regular, you know, it had its afternoon regulars and its evening music people. And the afternoon regulars would come in after work, watch Jeopardy or whatever was on TV. And this one gentleman, Pat Maltby, had passed away. And, of course, people heard about it and they went to the funeral. Well, Randy and Pat had stayed in touch with one of the bartenders, Skinny Skenendor, and Joan, actually, but they both bartended there. And Randy was sitting around their house or fire pit or something and said, you know, it was so wonderful seeing all those people again. It would be great to see them at something other than a funeral. So Skinny contacted a couple of the other bartenders, Kurt Munchoff and Lynn Heupel, and said, what if we could put together a reunion? Went and talked to Big Mouth. They were willing to come in on it, found the Blue Collar, and you know, we're willing to come in on that. So brought everybody together, asked me would I support this, and I said sure, absolutely, I'll help do some public relations for it, get the word out, and you know, pay for a little advertising to launch it. And we were amazed, hundreds of people showed up to this first one, and it was like, we may be a little older, a little grayer, a little fatter, a little thinner, but the light in our eyes was still there. And it was an opportunity to come together and enjoy the live blues music and the friendships
Special.
Had been made over these years.
Awesome. You know, that's one of those things, too. Music, it kind of like, when you have that relationship with somebody, music was, that doesn't go away, does it?
No.
No, it doesn't.
Because that's like a serious passion. Music just does something.
It really is.
With people.
And once it hits you, you can't get rid of it.
No.
It's in you then.
And it's funny, even these younger artists we have on here, you can just tell. I mean, they're not cashing it in, but boy, do they love it. And they're just like, you know, they all got full-time jobs somewhere else, you know, but they're playing here and playing here. And I just think that's great that they're that passionate about it.
Perspective, what does your daughter do in New York?
She's a doctor.
What would she give her left arm for to do instead of being a doctor?
He knows her. Yeah, entertainment. She just mm-hmm. loves the stage. And
there's something about it.
John interviewed her here, and her answer was a little too quick for me. He goes, would you rather be a doctor? Would you rather be on stage? Right away, she goes, on stage. So, but it's just, it's in her blood. But, you know, when she came to talk to me about it, I'm like, what advice would you give your kid? You know, I mean, the theater's tough.
Had medical school already been paid for?
We're going to throw this away.
That would have been a big decision.
I won't be surprised if I've told Johnny this before, that if after 15, 20 years, she, you know, she's a great doctor, but boy, that theater and that music and...
She'd be a doctor in recital.
There you go.
But she can do that. Yeah, mm-hmm. she can do that. But anyway, mm-hmm. yeah, you're right about
Barb,
that.
I have to ask you, what was Pat most proud of when he looked back? Because I was talking to Pat in the last days. Do you remember that about my book? Mm-hmm. We had, was it his dad I had on it in my
yes,
book?
Yes, his dad was a Marine.
Yes. So he was in my book. I interviewed Pat about that and everything. And down the stretch, and we were good friends. We always used to talk about basketball, to be honest. But they're all Green Bay West basketball days and everything. But what do you think his legacy is when you look back on what he did?
I think that it is really all about relationships. Relationships that created the music community to be alive and thriving, particularly around the blues, but other genres as well, and giving them a place to play. Relationships among people that formed. Some of the people who worked there, they went on to go to nursing school or become teachers or get other employment at other places that continued to give them livelihood, and they were very popular wherever they went because of what they gave and received from that experience. And I think that was what he was most proud of.
That's awesome.
Love it. And your industry just supporting each other. And I just hope the community understands what a gift we have with people like you to bring it here. And, you know, and you work hard on stage. I mean, we're very fortunate. If there's a lot to do here, you got to look sometimes. But man, we've got some great entertainment here, and I'm glad. It was nice to hear you say, Rick, that you think the talent pool is pretty deep here.
It always has been. I think for as long as I can remember. I mean, way before I started to get into it.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, what's that other event you got coming up at the Tarleton?
Okay, well,
we got a special guest coming.
You got 1 minute, my brother.
Okay, we just booked this at the Tarleton. It's Friday, May 30th. We're bringing Woody Mankowski, everybody's favorite. Woody Mankowski, the guy whose place I took in Big Mouth.
Yeah.
Woody's coming back for this show, and we are going to parade out a new member of the band, and she is wonderful. Her name is Kelsey Dene. She's got a BFA from Stevens Point. She moved out to New York right after, and she's been on Broadway stages. She's been in Les Mis, 9 to 5.
Wow.
Rent, Showboat.
Do you need a I can't think of the name.
Do you need a vibra slap player? Because I've got one.
When I was playing at Jimmy C's, I had one of those, and it broke, and I threw it into the river.
Oh. Bart Connors, so great seeing you.
Thank you. Too, May Rick. 18th in the afternoon, Blue Collar Bar and Grill. Come see us. Anyone welcome.
Want to see the action live? Watch Mino and the Mayor streaming weekday mornings on Facebook Live. Search for Mino and the Mayor or WISS or WGBW. Jump in, leave a comment, and be a part of the conversation. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Man, what a great lineup, Todd.
It sure was fun.
Intern boy. Everybody that put it all together.
Yeah, intern boy, yeah.
Some people call him Ryan.
Who does? Who calls him that? Yeah. I didn't even know that was. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Great guest. So Jocelyn Flores from Rise and Grind, the brand new coffee shop right next to us here at 401 North Washington Street in downtown Green Bay. Jeannie Brouette, former executive assistant to the general manager of the Green Bay Packers.
She is so sweet.
Isn't she like the sweetest lady?
You can see why they kept her. Oh, yeah. This is yours. I kept her around. Just very,
you know,
supportive.
I almost wish it was like whatever, you know, with TV. For some of these idiots that would call and start swearing, it's,
oh man,
this is the just so you know, this is the person
that you're
trying
at,
to,
right?
Yep. Exactly.
And she just have to be like, oh, you can't talk like that. But yeah, John, I'm sure you would have handled it very similar.
Much better. Well, I would have been nicer than Jeannie. I'm sorry for your concern,
get over here,
sir.
Get over right now.
Aren't that?
What's your address?
Yeah, M.
So,
Leap. Yeah,
so
okay. No, I understand. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to do everything I can, and then I'm going to write down your phone number so I can call you at 3:30 in the morning for the rest of your bleeping life, every day, morning, noon, and night.
Finish the story.
Other than that.
She's great.
Just John Kramer, Headlines Press Times with Rick from Big Mouth and the Heroes Club event coming up, Barb Conniff, Sunday at the Old Hero. Well, no, not at the Old Heroes. But it's in honor of the Old Heroes.
There you go. Right. Exactly.
It's on Broadway, but it's, yes. Mm-hmm.
13, we just got a text in 13, from Dennis 13. Peters who says, good morning, friends. What a beautiful day. Mom's got 12 more blankets.
Oh, good.
So,
we'll
Dennis,
take
thank you.
Big Mouth. We can
awesome.
Use those for our veterans.
We got another special guest coming
we
up.
We do. On
is
the
he
phone?
There?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Wait
I'm
a minute.
Sorry.
Bring in Mitchell.
Oh, man. We can't keep a bulldog waiting. Mitchell,
how's it going?
Good buddy, Mitchell
Congrats.
Van Boren, who just came back from Cleveland from rookie mini camp. What is going on? How was your experience in the National Football League?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Hopefully, just the beginning of a long journey. But yeah, it was a great experience, something new that not a lot of people get to do. So I was very honored and grateful for the opportunity.
You know, I just want to say one quick thing because I thought about you when I saw this. They had the cameras on Shooter Sanders when he walked in and he picked up his like swag bag. And he was, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, he's going, oh, this is kind of cool. There's something about that first experience, those first moments of breathing National Football League air, which you were a part of this past weekend. Just give me that thing for this kid from Peshtigo walking into an NFL locker room and having equipment just for you in that locker.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you look forward to like your entire life. So definitely you had to take a step back and take it all in and just enjoy the moment.
That's just for our listeners who maybe didn't listen when you were here last time. And you're a Peshtigo kid. You went to Marquette, transferred over to St. Norbert.
Multiple All-American at Marquette.
Right. Yes.
In track.
And now you were picked up by
Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns. That's very, very exciting. We were so hopeful when you were here and you're like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where I'm going to be that night and everything. And now we heard that night that you were going
to
Cleveland.
It all worked out.
Yeah. So congrats to you. I mean, tell me what you're thinking right now.
Yeah, I mean, got invited to a tryout for the rookie mini camp. Went pretty good. So now just waiting to see if they want to sign me or if something else is going to happen.
What did you think of the level of competition? Because, you know, you obviously St. Norbert, you dominated there, but in that league. But when you were out amongst these other guys from, you know, the Ohio States or the, you know, Notre Dames or the whomevers, what was it like? How did you judge yourself amongst them?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely cool playing with those guys who, you know, compete for national championships at Division I. But at the end of the day, once you put your helmet and pads on, you know, it's football, and I believe in my athletic abilities, and I think I stack up pretty good, and I can definitely hold my own in that scenario.
Did they time you in the 40 when you were there at camp?
No, it was just like just more like practices and stuff. We weren't like testing that kind of stuff.
Okay, now let me ask you this: when you terminology wise, I mean that is, I mean, I've had like some really great athletes, and they open up that playbook or whatever, and it's like, wow. You know, this is the hardest class I've ever had. What was it like just learning some of the things that, you know, when they diagram the plays?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably the most difficult thing. I mean, obviously in the NFL, they don't want to beat your bodies up too bad in practice. So I think it was probably harder mentally and physically over the weekend. But, you know, if you just put your head down, you grind it out, and you figure out how to make it work for you, it's not too bad at the end of the day.
Mitchell, so was it all the athletic side, or did they kind of get into your head a little bit with some of these tests and interviews, and is this guy going to fit in our locker room or that kind of thing?
It was more just like a normal 3-4 days of practice. So just how they kind of usually run their shit.
How did those quarterbacks throw a football?
Yeah, they're pretty good. So it's going to be exciting to watch what they do throughout the year with all the QBs they have on the roster. But yeah, they've got a pretty good arm on them.
It's pretty amazing when you get around guys like that. I mean, the different levels, every time you go up, there's a little bit of there's two things. There's kind of like you where it's like, okay, I'm pro size, I'm pro speed. You know, maybe I hadn't played at that level, and you kind of compare yourselves. And sometimes guys are like, hey, this is okay. I can, you know, I'm not guaranteed. I can, you know, I'm not embarrassing myself
exactly
with whatever. Right. But sometimes it is that mental part that separates guys, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a mental thing. I think you got to have the right headspace, and you know, some guys, you know, don't always get there. I mean, some guys are just there to enjoy the moment, and some think that they go and compete. So you just got to figure out which lane you're in.
We're with Mitchell Van Voren, former St. Norbert, Marquette University, and Peshtigo Bulldog, who just came back from a rookie symposium with the Cleveland Browns.
So what is next, Mitchell? How does this work from here on out?
Yeah, I think just waiting to see if a team calls me up for training camp or the next test for that. I mean, they said they really liked me, and I exceeded their expectations, and I'm just waiting
awesome
to see. I mean, they're pretty deep at tight end, so we'll see if they end up signing me or if another team reaches out, but kind of just waiting and making sure I'm ready for that next opportunity.
Oh, you let us know. I think you're going to make it. I think you got the right attitude. That's for sure. And, you know, like you said, you outperformed what they thought you were going to do.
You got the height, the weight, and the speed.
Yeah, right.
I mean, and I don't know how smart you have to be to go through Marquette and St. Norbert, but right, still, you got Peshtigo education.
Right, there you go.
Well, this awesome is cool, Mitchell. Hey, let me ask you another question, though, media-wise. I don't think you guys were bombarded with media at you know, either place in your playing days, but you know, obviously the Cleveland Browns all of a sudden are under a big spotlight. Mm. What was it like media-wise there?
Yeah, I mean, at practices, there were a lot of guys out there like filming everything and breaking it all down, but I think the top draft picks were the guys getting a lot of media questions, so it wasn't too bad for me.
Now, you're talking about, you know, the Browns, what they like, but it's not even just so much the Browns. It's getting tape, getting tape, getting tape, so other clubs can look at you. That's such an important aspect as well, isn't it? It's almost like every route audition. You run is like an audition tape.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, every scout and every GM talks along the league, so, you know, just got to make sure that every time you do get an opportunity that you're putting your best foot forward and you're showing everyone what you can do.
Because you never know how many opportunities a person will get in life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How many people are down there for that, for this, what did you call it?
Rookie camp.
A rookie camp.
A rookie mini camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was like 45 of us down there between drafted, signed, and tryout guys.
All right, cool.
Did you, with the coaches, was it, you know, they treat you okay, or was it just like, well, you're just another rookie coming in with a number, and we're just going to, or were they fairly personable?
Yeah, they were pretty personable. I mean, they treated us all the same. You know, obviously the drafted and signed guys, they had a little bit other things to do. Like, they had some media stuff to do, but, you know, at the end of the day, they treated us all like family, and it was a pretty cool opportunity.
Did
cool.
They give you any swag to take home?
Yeah, we got to keep all of our like shirts and shorts and stuff like that. So that was cool.
Oh, that's cool. Did they show you around the city? Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and
you
get some
extra,
other stuff.
You don't need any bags or anything like that. You just want to get rid of her. I don't just throw it out there. Yeah. Caps. I don't know.
No, we were in the facility from like 6 a.m. to like 8 p.m. every night, so we didn't get to go around the city too much.
I guess not.
Wow, that's a long day.
I haven't done that in a while.
Holy cow! Yeah. So what do you do now, workout-wise, stay in shape? Because, again, you got to be, whenever that phone rings or something, it might be, hey, get on a plane and come here. Or what do you do now, Mitchell? What's the next few weeks, what do they look like for you?
Yeah, probably just keep doing the same routine that I was doing. You know, obviously, try to remember the playbook as much as I can and just keep working on the things that they taught me and stuff like that so I can be ready when that call comes.
Do they give you the playbook to take home, or is that very, hey, turn in your playbooks, nobody's taking anything out of the facility?
Yeah, we had to turn that stuff all in, but, you know, I learned it pretty well over the three, four days there, so I think I got a good chunk of it up in my head.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
That is. Any communication? Are you calling anybody saying, hey, look, you know, is there anything I can do, or is it just silence until you get a call?
Yeah, my agent's reaching out to people, so just let him do his job and then see what happens.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, too, as far as we're talking about being ready, at least nowadays, I mean, I'll tell you what, I remember young guys back, you know, in the late 80s or whatever, and guys would get cut or something, but they would stay here because at least they'd have a home base, okay? Mm-hmm. But they would be over at, like, Southwestern or Ashwaubenon High School trying to use their weight rooms or use their high school tracks. I mean,
right. Nowadays,
at least, there are such amazing facilities where somebody like you can stay in, you know, top peak performance level.
Wow.
So that's got to be kind of cool, huh, Mitchell?
Yeah, definitely. And I have a good relationship with St. Norbert, so I've been using their facilities last couple of months. So it's kind of nice that we still have that connection after this process.
And or with Mitchell Van Voren from St. Norbert, who just came back from rookie camp at the Cleveland Browns.
And those are some pretty nice facilities at St. Norbert.
Yeah, they're pretty top line for Division III.
I saw a thing on Facebook. You and Shooter Sanders are wearing the exact same diamond necklace. Is that true?
that might have been AI or something.
that had to be kind of cool, though, just seeing him walk around, huh?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's a cool experience. You know, you see everyone on TV and then you go and you're playing the same team as them.
Right.
But, yeah, like I said earlier, I mean, everyone's just a person at the end of the day. So once you put the helmet and pads on, you're just out there playing football.
So are you just going to stay in shape? Are you going to work? You're finishing school? What's going on your personal side there?
Yeah, probably just keep trying to work out. Maybe I'll do a little bit of work in the meantime to get some extra cash. But, yeah, just make sure I'm in shape for that call.
Well, it's got to be something. I mean, for a kid growing up in Peshtigo to all of a sudden, you know, having come from an NFL camp and doing whatever, and I know you weren't drafted, which was kind of a dream, but doesn't matter. You still got that phone call, and somebody said, hey, we think you've got – they don't bring in, you know, whatever. They bring in guys that have a chance to play in the National Football League because they got 8 million other guys they could bring in just for camp guys. So I think no matter what happens, Mitchell, I think that is a huge, huge achievement that you have right now to sock away in your bank.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's definitely something that not a lot of people get to say they did. So definitely grateful and just keep being thankful for the opportunities I've been given the last couple months.
And how much credit do you give to Mark Hewson from Bell and Sports Medicine? About 90%?
Jeez.
Probably 99.
Yeah, you go. See, all right. Well, tell him that he's on tomorrow or Friday. Yeah. I should
absolutely.
Say.
Hey, Mitchell Van Voren, congratulations, buddy.
Hey, keep us posted, Mitchell. This is exciting stuff.
Absolutely. I will. Please keep us posted. We're 1,000,000% in your corner. Yeah, it's going to be just fun watching the whole process. Whatever happens, no matter what, it's still very cool for somebody local like this to have that opportunity. Yeah. So all the respect in the world for you, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me back on.
You got it, buddy. Right. I'll see you at, what's our little hamburger place in Marinette?
Mickey Lewis.
Absolutely. See you there. Okay, all buddy. Right, yeah. Take care. Mitchell Van Voren.
Good for him.
Great having him on. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mine with the Mayor here, wrapping it up on a beautiful, just a gorgeous Wednesday morning, high in the low 70s today, partly cloudy, possible showers. Yesterday afternoon was about as nice of a day as we could possibly ask for in the state of Wisconsin, wasn't it?
I was working. I wasn't outside.
Oh, man. Just walking around downtown. Got actually really humid for a while, which actually kind of felt good. It's just been so, I feel like I'm thawing out.
Quite a bit of fog this morning, and I think we'll be seeing that the next couple of days because of that humidity.
But burning off then with the sunshine coming
up. Sure doesn't look like rain, but it's supposed to rain like at noon, right? Noon, one, two, three?
Yeah, possible. Thursday they're talking about possible nasty stuff coming through, aren't they?
Yeah. It could be severe.
Like overnight type kind of that hail and high winds and all that kind of
Central
stuff.
Central Wisconsin especially. So yeah. Wausau, Wisconsin
God,
Rapids.
They've been hit lately, huh?
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a tornado or a snowstorm or what. They just seem to get hit.
Yeah, they do. They do.
We seem more protected on this area.
We're in this bubble, man. We've been here for a couple of years.
Well, I mean, you see that on the way. You see the color, and it's like right, it kind of like comes across and then goes 45 degrees up towards Door County.
Yeah, and I think people who escaped, I was going to talk to Ben and Deanna about that today. People who escape the winters in Wisconsin get another house. I don't know if that's as necessary now because the winters aren't that bad here. Not like...
But I will say that. No, I'm not saying they're that bad.
Use your snowblower? That's awesome.
I understand that, but they're still long. It's still cold. It's still, your car's cold. It's cold. I'm tired of cold, kind of, to be honest. I'm tired of cold for that long of a time.
Right. But does that warrant buying another house?
No, it does not.
So you take a trip or go somewhere, go camp. Yeah, I don't know.
Even if it did, I wouldn't have enough money to buy another house.
Okay.
Radio people don't buy other houses.
No.
Right, Todd?
That's correct.
That trailer in Mississippi I was talking about?
Yeah. Still get your eye
possible.
On
possible.
Okay. Wow.
Possible.
I was kind of looking at like a little camper or something. I'd like to get
that.
I could live in a camper. I really could.
There's people that hitch that thing up and, you know, do the Arizona and New Mexico and, you know, go drive around there for the couple three months, come back here. But yeah, I don't know, buying another house. It just doesn't seem like it's worth it. You know what I mean?
I do.
2 months?
I do. But I think I could be, I could be one of those travel people for 6 months in a van type thing.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, I could.
Oh, my God.
I could go November through March. What?
Jim.
No.
Okay, we've heard stories this morning about his apartment.
True that.
And his blender.
Yes, but.
Can you imagine if the guy was living out of a van for 6 months?
It'd be okay.
Cop would pull you over. Could you please roll up the window? Roll up the window. I'm not supposed to roll it down. Roll it up. Guys, go.
Although I would
get the gas mask, comes back. Okay, roll the window down.
I would worry about somebody smothering my chimney and smoking me out.
Oh, that's
I would worry about that. I told you that story I had
yesterday.
That's one of my big fears.
Yeah.
So, but I think I could at least a few months. You don't think you could?
Nope. No, I would like to go somewhere for, I wouldn't mind.
January and February either. Yeah. Right after Christmas, boom, head down to Mississippi, Alabama, one of those places. I would do that.
Yeah, but I would get a, like an Airbnb for 6 weeks. You know what I mean? Just a
get
small
a,
one.
You get a penthouse suite at the
I would just think that would be fun. I want, no, the reason I wouldn't do that is I want a kitchen. I want to be able to cook.
You I would have I mean? A kitchen in my van. You can have
kitchen. Where's the bathroom in that van, Johnny?
Up back those, yeah. those trees over there?
There is a guy that I follow on social media because he does live in a van. It's a bigger van, but yeah. he's got a little kitchen area.
Yeah,
right? Really?
He's got a bed. He's yeah. got all that kind of stuff. I don't know that he's got a shower in it, though. So he's got to, like, stop off at truck stops.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
I would love to shower at a truck stop. I'd love to eat at a truck stop, watch TV at a truck stop. I'm fine with that part.
Nah, there's. I think there's not good stuff that happens at truck stops. I don't know, John.
I would be on my best behavior.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. You write me.
Write you
a postcard.
Do you have a stamp? Where do you buy a stamp yeah. these days? I don't know. Great lineup today, man. From that's start
fun.
To finish, Jocelyn Flores. Wonderful young lady. She runs a new coffee shop right next door to us here at 401 North Washington and, Street in Green Bay.
What I liked about her was, I mean, it started, what, 3 weeks, you said?
Yep.
Yeah, about
yep.
that, yeah.
Okay. But, boy, she's got a lot of plans, which is good. It's not like she's...
And unique plans.
She, yeah. To do these, this, what'd she say? This is Mexican coffee.
Mexican coffee.
She's got some co-marketing things she's doing. She's going to be fine.
She's got some great dessert type things. She's coming. To put it, like, really a rare. That's what's cool. It's like there's a million coffee shops, but she's taking it. I mean, she wanted to get, you know, get started.
Right.
You know, it's soft opening almost. Right. Do whatever. Right. But boy, she has some nice ideas that will make her place unique.
That's what she got to carve out.
Yeah.
Now she's going to be fine.
How do you separate yourself?
Yep.
Jeannie Brouette. Former assistant to Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson. Boy, she could talk all day, huh?
Yes.
Great, great stories.
What a sweet lady.
Great,
she is.
Sweet lady.
As is her husband's a great guy,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, the pastor. Yeah, I went to his place quite a bit. Yeah.
John Kramer, headlines for the Press Times. John bringing in Rick Pinebrook by Big Mouth and the Heroes Club event taking place with Barb Conniff. We'll talk more about that the closer we get, huh, Todd?
Absolutely.
The Heroes Reunion alumni type thing where they brought great, great music to Green Bay. Her husband, Pat Conniff, was so instrumental in downtown
yeah.
Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I thought he was one of the guys that really made coming downtown cool.
There's a few people that have done that. I think I have high hopes for Tarl.
Oh, me too. I've got high hopes for that whole shipyard district.
Yeah.
I really do.
It needs to be funded, right? But I think the vision is terrific.
I still think that area, there's something about South Broadway I like.
It is cool. There's it's cool space.
Old, it is what it is, and they're not what they're not.
They're not going to try to change it and put up all these lights. And no, nope. Just, this is who we are, and we're really good at it.
It's a little gritty, and I love that.
Right, I agree. That's so we just need to keep at it. They work at it. It just... Again, you know, it's a lot of energy and some money, and I just hope the city continues to support that.
But tell me there aren't some little neighborhoods in New York that used to be whatever.
Absolutely.
Now.
Yeah. Atlanta, anywhere. Yeah, there's some. Yeah, no, there's some
Detroit.
Great areas. Oh, yeah.
Detroit is like and a poster child for that, taking like
right.
areas and, that were almost like blighted and then turning them into something cool.
And it's the cool spot.
Yes.
And Shipyard will be that, but, you know, just a matter of when.
You know, you know what needs to be happen? People need to, like, discover it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, you're right.
You
know that's true, man. That is.
I'm going to take you to this place. You might not think we're going to South Park, but that's what it's going to be.
That's going to be awesome.
That's where I'm opening my bar.
The camper bar.
With the van.
That is not a bad name. The camper bar is not a bad name. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for being here. Thank you to all our guests back into my morning, Money the Mayor. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.